Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it is me, Ellie Gibson.
And Ellie, we don't have one guest tonight.
Is that because we have two guests?
That is exactly right. We have Annabelle and Emily.
Amazing scenes.
And they are the middles, Ellie.
Yes.
And they're literally in the middle of us. The middles of us.
Yes.
Welcome. That was a very slick introduction.
Welcome to mid-alt earth. Yeah, mid-alt class.
Yes. So how are you? How are you feeling? Your book has just come out.
Well, we're pretty fucking excited, actually, to be here on this sofa, the legendary...
The DFS sofa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I want to bounce up and down.
Oh.
I am actually bouncing up and down.
But I have to be honest, she is always bouncing up and down. She bounces all day and all night.
So you were the Tigger in the relationship,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Are you the Pooh?
Maybe the Eeyore.
Okay. Ah, I see. I always love finding out who was connected to the Winnie the Pooh characters. I feel like I am Pooh. Ellie, you?
Never had a lot of time for Winnie the Pooh.
No?
I think now.
So. I feel like you're Rabbit.
Oh, right. What's Rabbit like?
Clever.
Very clever. Very right. Astute.
He's annoying though, isn't he? You're holding something back.
Yeah, just a bit.
But
all right, we've got that done. We've got that done.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a poor introduction to these very fabulous women who are their mothers, their mid-alters, their authors, writers, and they have this amazing book called...
Authors and writers.
Yes.
Amazing.
Journalist. Let's call her a journalist, because that's... Or a columnist, which I always hate saying because it always reminds me of colonoscopy. For some reason, it's a very similar process, I'm sure, Annabelle. But the book is called I'm Absolutely Fine, A Manual for Imperfect Women. I mean, I'm just going yes at the title. It's a brilliant title.
Well, how many times a day do you find yourself saying I'm absolutely fine when you feel absolutely fucked?
Yeah, that is the British way, I feel.
Yeah,
that's what I've learned.
To learn that, yeah.
I know, because often Ellie would say, how are you? I'm like, oh, well, I've got... She didn't want to know.
No, in England, how are you is not a question. With the mid-up, we try to turn it back into a question, into some people's great surprise.
Oh, well, people... Oh, gosh, you bold women.
Well, that's
you.
One of the ways that it came about, is someone said to me, how are you? And I forgot that it wasn't a question, and said, I'm so anxious, I can't sleep, and I'm thinking about death all the time. And they all started talking.
And they
talking
said, anyway, got to go.
No, they didn't. They said, one said, I don't want to fuck my husband, but I really love him. What am I going to do about that? Another said, I'm worried about dying on the streets. Another said, I've been on these meds for 3 years. And then Emily and I went away and started talking and said, they feel it and we feel it. Why don't we talk about it?
Let's never go to that Sainsbury's again.
And now because of all the content that we put out and everything and all the discussions about our anxiety, when I say, how are you to people, they really answer. So the other day we were at a violin concert. School violin concert, which is an exercise in oral pain.
Aural,
yes, exactly.
Aural agony.
Yes.
Not oral agony, that sounds like...
That's something different.
They do use that in Guantanamo now. They just use children's carol concerts and cello recitals.
Yes. Our dog, every time, well, the few times my daughter actually practices her violin, the dog starts howling. Basically, and wow. So do we. So
yes.
It's like it's the whole family.
It's all worth it, though.
Anyway, so you were at this violin concert.
I was at this violin concert, and I asked my friend, I said, how are you? And she said, I do not feel validated at work. I have a chest infection, and I suspect that my therapist is a bit of a dick. And I said, she said, and how are you, Emily? And I said, well, my therapist is going away for 6 weeks, and I'm a bit worried about it. And it was just an amazing moment where we completely connected, and we transcended to a higher plane of anxiety, and everybody else around us slowly backed away.
Sounds... You were the weird people, and yeah. you liked it. I like it.
Well, you know, part of this stuff is about unleashing your inner weirdo,
yeah.
who is the part of you that thinks it's okay to be you. So we're kind of, it's quite fun to suddenly become the weirdo when you've been quite good girls and you yeah. sort of played it slightly by the book.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you hit 40 and you just sort of, you know.
You've yeah. had enough. You've had enough of slightly, the bullshit yeah. as well, and you're yeah. tired.
And enough of the endemic cultural underestimation of grown-up women, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know what a busy working mum is. I don't know what a, you know, deranged cougar or a tragic spinster is, or, you know, we're all meant to be one thing at a time. And actually, we're looking at texture and crunch.
Mm. I like it. And so how did you two meet? Were you always friends, or did this meeting
we knew each other a little bit at school, but not really. We were at the same school.
Annabelle was in the year above me, so she obviously disdained, you know, had total disdain for me, and all
still do.
Yeah.
and then we found ourselves working. Our desks were next to each other 15 years ago, and we just clung to each other like life rafts, and we realised that it was a friendship that was, I don't know what. Meaningful?
Yeah, important, I think. Yeah. And, you know, it was at that particular time in your late 20s when life suddenly starts hitting you incredibly hard, and all the hangovers and the heartbreak and the what the fuck am I doing?
The dead dads and the addictions and the, you know...
Quite sounds like you live in EastEnders.
I was going to say, it's a bit Corrie.
So how old are your kids now? So you met before you had kids.
Yeah.
You met 15, 16 years ago, although obviously we were at school. And so now I have a soon-to-be 9-year-old called Esme and a 7-year-old called Agnes. And they're badass.
Oh, badass rebel girls.
Yes.
And Annabelle?
I have a 4-year-old called Bluey, who is improbably blonde. And a bit of a tiny dancer at the moment.
Excellent.
Oh, lovely.
He has an excellent mother.
He has moves.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get them from me.
So we should say, The Minot is not just the book, which obviously, you know, we're all here to plug, but it's also, I mean, you're a multimedia node, ladies.
Oh, we're an empire.
Tell us about all your channels.
We have theminot.com.
Right.
Where we publish constantly. We live in a newsletter, which you can sign up to on themidult.com. We're at themidult on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah.
Mm. And we were featured in an article together that was at last year in the Times or the Telegraph, saying this is the new middle age, this is new defining of middle age. So we've got a website called The Midult. They've got a podcast called The Scummy Mummies. And that was there was a nice start of that conversation back
yeah,
then.
Except we never use the term middle age.
Oh.
Because it's so triggering, it's completely banned, as is midlife.
Yes. Yeah.
Because I think that a lot of women, you know, of our age, think that sheer willpower can keep it at bay because it's such an unaspirational thing. Mm. Desperate middle-aged women, men will often talk about. So we talk about grown-up women.
Yeah.
And what we found is, even though a lot of our audience are 35 to 44, which we are, which is what we expected, the fastest growing bit is 25 to 35, which is weird and a thrill.
Mm.
It's like we've got our big girl pants on. We're talking about, you know, what's in the post, and they want to know.
Yeah, yeah. That's really interesting because it's sort of like looking up to the cool girls at school.
Well, that's what I think.
Rather than looking down going, that's the valley of death, and that's it. That's a slow road to...
Well, don't you think we're slightly educated to think that the kernel of any cultural conversation has to happen in extreme youth? Mm. Whereas, in fact, when you are at school and you're 12, you don't care what the 9-year-olds are doing. You want to know what the 15-year-olds are doing.
Yeah.
Also, it's a mindset, isn't it? We're all hyper-connected. We can look on the internet and find out, you know, what 18-year-olds are doing.
Yeah.
Don't really want to, but we could.
Do you think, though, just to play devil's advocate, is that because I recently, like said, I mentioned I was middle-aged to someone. I think it was my mum. And she went, you're not middle-aged. And I was like, no, I literally am. Like, I'm nearly 41. I'm going to die.
It officially starts at 35.
You know, yeah, like, it's... So, you know...
Yeah, I'm halfway through, Mum. Where does that leave you, Mum?
Yeah, let's not worry about you. Yeah, let's not make this about you. But yeah, is there an argument that... Why are we so afraid of using that word? Like, why shouldn't we sort of embrace it?
Because it's so triggering, you know? Mm. I think maybe at some point, you know, we could reclaim middle age. But before that, we're going to have to reinvigorate it.
Yeah. It's so loaded with irrelevance, isn't it? It's like, well, you know, you walk in at a certain age, women become extinguished, you no longer see them anymore, men become distinguished. But, you know, our grey beards are not celebrated.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very expensive to maintain my grey beard.
Well, exactly. The long grey beard of wisdom.
Yes, exactly.
Which mine's not on my face.
Okay.
Because as usual, Helen has written a little running order of some questions here, and here's a classic Helen Thorne typo. You've written, "Do you think everyone is whinging?"
Yes,
we
did.
Love
you
that.
Mean to write winging it?
Yes, I did.
And we bloody loved it. We were like, we do agree that people, we do think that people are winging it and whinging it.
And whinging it.
And we are whinging it all the time.
Yeah.
Mostly like, oh, my back, or how did I hurt my shoulder, or God.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I mean, because I think...
And also permanently slightly sorry, and also permanently slightly needing to pee.
I'm always needing to pee.
Those are the three permanent things, aren't they?
I'm just always tired. When do we not feel tired?
I'm too tired to answer that question.
Yeah. And there's got to be an end to the tiredness, right?
Death. It's clearly death.
Just when we can nap all the time. I still have these fantasies about living out my 60s and 70s in the south of France, just being mildly.
But it's kids, that's why we're tired.
Yeah,
kids.
Sort of napping and on the sound. Yeah,
and I have to say that on the mid-up, we don't talk about kids ever at all. They have been lovingly removed from the conversation.
Because I didn't know you had children from what you read, and it was only because we have sort of mutual friends that they said, oh no, they've got kids.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting because you're not letting that define.
No, we just thought, wouldn't it be nice if there's somewhere where it's irrelevant if you do or you don't. And also I went through a really painful period of desperately wanting a child, not knowing if I was going to have a child. And it meant that every time I saw a nappy advert, I had to turn it off. Every time I saw a pregnant woman, I had a sort of internal monologue of hate. And I just thought, we don't want to stab those people every time they look at what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of, you know, we didn't have a boardroom, but we did have a kitchen. So we did lots of sort of dinners to try and research, you know, with our people, what they might want to hear about before we launched. And we realised there was this big gulf between married women with children. Oops, I got pregnant on the sofa kind of thing.
Mm.
And women over 40.
Speaking of which, about where you're sitting now, Annabelle, at least one of them.
And women who didn't have kids, not because they didn't want kids, but because it hadn't happened and felt incredibly ashamed and unlovable. And because of what I've been through, I got Bluey in the end. I had him by myself. I'm a solo mother. I really didn't want to do that to other women.
Yeah.
And also, we could be about identity, so we could leave with something nutritious that wasn't around.
And
kids.
Also, there's so much great stuff. I mean, you guys owning the field, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. There's great stuff around it, so we thought...
No, absolutely, because you've got your young bloggers who are just doing stuff about being young, and then there is the mum bloggers, and there's certain, you know, sets on Instagram.
Yes, she's got it on the brain.
There's no sex. I haven't had sex for a couple of weeks. I'm really would like some. If anyone's up,
listeners, if you'd like to have sex with Helen Thorne, just email scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com with your name and length. Possibly
girth. Possibly girth. I mean, there's not much you can do with a straw, Ellie.
Yes. Or perhaps you're a woman and you'd like to lend your husband out for the night. Save yourself a job.
Or even the lady. I'm not fussy.
Yeah, no.
I'm really not.
Not since university.
We were talking the other day. We were saying, would you rather have sex every night for a year or never again? And it was a really hard question.
Who's it with? I mean...
And Emily went to a dinner and then some mother was very proud of herself and they were talking about having they had sex and she went... Every night, ladies. And everyone went, oh, God, poor you.
No, give it a rest.
I feel like a heifer. Just a machine.
And also
a
just machine. All that, you know, muck.
You don't like the muck, do you?
I do not like the squelch myself.
No, no. The next day, no.
It's part of the fun. Yeah, I like a squelch.
Oh, see, this is it. We're finding up.
Everyone's had a nice time.
It's a good distraction from the other damp patch on the ceiling.
Wow, you're a squirter.
Jesus, what is he made of?
Just old bath water.
Yeah. He's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Just going back to what you said a minute ago, Annabelle, I noticed you use the term solo parent. Is that a deliberate choice and not single parent?
Yeah, it is. I've got a problem with the word single anyway, because I think it's sort of, you know, it's all about, you know, the shelf and the unplucked flower narrative of a millennia. So I think independent would be a really good replacement for single.
Mm.
But solo, because single, maybe a single mother has a whiff of something not having worked. Maybe it was a divorce or it was a one night stand. Whereas solo motherhood is a choice in itself. It's a different dream. So I think that, you know, that's what I use.
Yeah. I like it. It has a ring of someone who's crossed the Atlantic.
It's a voyage.
Yes, I like
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Solo voyage. Yeah.
Solo voyage. Voyage.
Han Solo, I was thinking,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
Sexy, strong, hands out with hairy creatures. I mean,
that's me.
The Chewbacca
in the, exactly, in the partnership.
Yeah. Or you could say you're the Leia. I say you're a Princess Leia.
Oh, my goodness.
Who's the tall gold one?
C-3PO.
You can be him.
Oh, really? Yes, definitely.
It's like a proper job's worth. Thanks very much. I want to be... Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Yeah, has solo parenting been what you expected?
I don't know if parenting is ever what you expect, is it? My child has a father, but we've never been together. So actually, it's like a very happy divorce. So I get every other weekend off. What's happened, I found I've had to be very, very grown up about money, because that's got really scary, and about energy and trying to make sure that I can manage the tiredness. But it's made me a sort of touch point for other women who are thinking of doing it by themselves, really doing it by themselves. And sometimes the doorbell will ring and there will be somebody standing there. that sounds really sinister.
It does sound
standing there, Annabelle.
Holding some bin bags and a rope and a shovel.
Saying either I'm thinking of doing this, what do I need to know? Or saying, I've done it and I'm incredibly anxious and sort of in tears and, you know, let's talk about it. And I love that. And you know what? There are 6 women in my immediate address book who've had babies with sperm donors. It's like properly the next wave. And also from my point of view, it's interesting to separate a parental fit from a romantic fit. Because one thing I did think, being a solo mother, was this must cause fucking chaos in a relationship.
It doesn't improve it, I wouldn't say you have more sex after you had a baby.
I don't know anyone who said had a child going, this baby's been the best thing for our relationship.
You don't know more mini breaks.
No.
Row less.
Yeah. Yes. We feel a connection like we've never felt before. You've hit the nail on the head. It's fucking hard.
So I take the rough with the smooth, you know. So sometimes it's lonely and sometimes it's just a blessing because it's peaceful.
Yeah, you're a fucking brilliant mother though, and he's a delight and it's wonderful. And it makes me happy every day.
Aww. You see, we just love
each other. Go on, get off each other.
They're still doing it.
So Annabelle, so you know, you just mentioned you sometimes have people turn up on your doorstep and they say, look, I'm thinking of doing solo parenting, what do I need to know? What do they need to know?
They need to know that single pregnancy is by far the weirdest part.
Really?
Of being a solo mother, yeah, because you know when you're pregnant your body has its own narrative and people don't really are not ready to understand that there's no one by your side and there's also not a baby in your arms yet. So that's a really strange time. So don't panic, because that's kind of as weird as it gets about the soloness. All married women will tell you that men are useless and it's no hard to do it by yourself. And they're completely wrong, but there's no point being bitter and cross about that. But they will also tell you that it's a great privilege to be able to focus on your child, not have to have someone to entertain and have sex with and amuse and pander to. And they are right about that. So that's the kind of rough and the smooth. If you've got any money at all when you're pregnant, buy yourself one nice thing, because you're really not going to have any money for a really long time. And I bought myself a present when I was pregnant.
What did you get?
I bought myself a watch.
Nice.
Because I like wearing watches. It's broken. The fucking thing's broken. I can't afford to get it fixed. But I bought myself, because the thing is, you know, I think this is true probably of having a baby in any circumstance, but you've just become bottom of your own list for a really, really long time. I would always say that the money side of things was far and away the most stressful part. You've just got to be very, very grown up about that. Also, there isn't a stigma. So there just isn't. People are usually thrilled. It's a story. People love a story. They're thrilled to hear that. So that there's no shame. I would say be careful about getting too tired, because there's no one sitting right there to say you're too tired. So look after that. And if you start to feel mad, then talk about the madness. Shame will really be your enemy if you're doing this by yourself, because then you can isolate yourself and end up sort of locked in a corner. And certainly for me, and this is part of where the midwife came from, I would say to them that once you emerge from the baby bubble, and I think the baby bubble lasts about 18 months, you will suddenly be confronted by your own ambition, because it's just you and you're locked and loaded to do something. And for me, it was the midwife with Emily.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I want that frame, Dilly.
It's
brilliant. How long have you been like work wives?
Well,
officially
yes.
Officially 2 years, just over. Yeah. And we wanted to do something for ourselves as well. I mean, you know, what about your experience with the pay rise?
Well, so when I had a very, very tough job and I was in the office at 7 every day and my children were 3 and 1, so it was pretty hardcore.
The trenches time.
And it just, people started to leave, and so I was doing so much work. And also,
Emily's talent is, to, one of her many, many talents is to make other people look good. She can turn people into stars. It's a, you know, hugely valuable, beautiful thing.
That's the kind of thing. Anyway, so I my personality started to malfunction, which is a sort of posh way of saying I was having a fucking nervous breakdown. And I started hearing voices,
and telling me I was a terrible mother, and I was in the loo having panic attacks at work, and then going back to my desk and kind of being kind of, you know, a pretend grown up. And so I thought, okay, if I am going to have a nervous breakdown, they might as well pay me more for it. So I went and said, can I have some more money? Which, you know, as anyone know, anyone listening who's ever asked for more money for anything, you know, everybody I know is so afraid to charge. It is incredibly, it's incredibly tough. And they said no. And so I said, oh, okay, well, then I'm going to go. And then they went, no, we'll give you the money. And I was like, oh, I just, you just don't think that I was, you didn't think at that moment that I was worth holding on to. Mm. And they, you know, they wanted to, they didn't think that I was a star. They wanted to, they wanted me to turn other people into stars, but they weren't ready to support me. And so, you know, I left.
Cool. Yeah, she was ready to be the star in her own sky.
At what point did you sit down? Was that together when you sat down together and went, right, this is what we're going to do and this is what it's going to be? Or did it evolve? Or how did it all come about?
Well, it partly came back from the summer of anxiety and all those women saying how incredibly frightened they were. And also because there was this idea of midlife crisis and this idea of everybody rebelling against the label of middle age. We just thought, hang on, is it a midlife crisis or is it actually a series of crossroads? It's all very well to talk about the macro and great big, you know, life choices like solo motherhood or whatever, or changing a job or a divorce or whatever it might be. But what about the granular nature of our days? Those tiny little moments in the day when we're just fucking triggered, and one minute you're, you know, full of joy, the next minute you're completely despairing, or in my case, incredibly angry. It was really about that, wasn't it? And also we suddenly thought, okay, so with our kind of people, as we call them, we felt like there was something in the Venn diagram where, in the middle bit, where potential met anxiety.
Yeah.
Something that happened and lived and could be, you know, brewed and looked at more closely in the middle, isn't that right?
Yeah, and I think the fact is that we had, you know, our kids are, well, for me, at a certain age, where I had some more space in my brain, and I thought, you know, I want to do something for me that's about me. And I don't mean kind of, you know, the Emily show, but I meant as in that reflected how I was feeling inside and that I could communicate it out into the world, and that someone else could take the baton and run
because
with it,
nobody was talking to us the way that we talked to each other. It just wasn't there.
Yeah. And it is such a weird shift of identity when you do go through motherhood or this time of our lives. Let's not just say it, just, you know, we have these feelings exclusively as mothers. But I just remember I met Ellie when the boys were, because our boys are born 11 days apart, at 18 months, and I was up breastfeeding. And
how did you meet?
We met doing stand-up.
Oh.
And it was my first gig back after 6 years and being a mother. And I just remember being up late at like 3 a.m. going, what actually makes me happy? What do I really, really want? You know, I felt the absolute lowest of lows. I was like, I need to be on the stage. I need to do it. And I booked the gig and met Ellie, and that was it.
That's amazing.
It was that kind of moment. And I think you're right. You just reach for something that's not just wet wipes and muslin squares. Like, you want something more. So
I had a similar epiphany where I was like, oh, I do like going to the pub. I should get a job where you get to go to a pub. Do it in a pub. That's what I'll do.
And now we do. That's our life. We're often driving, you know, down the motorway. Obviously, Ellie's dad's driving us, going, we're getting paid money for this. This is, we have created this around the kitchen table, and this is now our life.
So did we. And I think the other thing is that, you know, you do fight to, especially if you invest a huge amount in your family and work, which I know everybody here does, that, you know, it's hard to extricate yourself. Like, who are you between wife, mother, sister, daughter, you know, parent, you know, employee, etc.?
Because we should say that on the mid-art there are no husbands either.
Mm.
So there are no children, but there are also no husbands, because, you know, it's not about somebody's wife or him indoors or a better half or a worse half. Or it's about being who you are, you know, if you want to be schmaltzy.
Mm. So your background is beauty, Annabelle, you know.
No, it's not. Oh, okay. My background is, my background's interviewing. That's how I, that's how I sort of got going. Was I was the one that did the 3,000 word celebrity interviews twice a week.
Oh, right.
At the Evening Standard, yeah.
Oh, right.
And the beauty column, which I still do, which I love, came about because I think they kind of wanted someone who would write about beauty who wasn't a beauty journalist.
Oh.
And that's still how I write about it. So you'll never hear, you know, from my pen, you know, a slick of gloss and you're good to go.
Yeah.
It's all about when you're feeling, you know, furious or sweaty or in a hurry or despairing or exhausted. And I just think that, you know, beauty products are about, you know, how you feel.
Yeah, because you, for a solo mother of a four-year-old, you don't look as tired as you should do. What are you putting on your face?
Ah, what am I putting on my face? Or what am I putting in my face?
Oh.
I use what I'm sent. I mean, I, at the moment, do you want to know?
Yeah.
At the moment, I've hit upon, like, the world's best cleanser. Do you know when you suddenly think, oh, you try something, you think, I haven't had a spot, and I don't look grey, and it's Dr. Dennis Gross Alpha Beta Cleanser, I think it's called.
Okay.
And it's not cheap, but it's not, like, stupid money, and it lasts for months. Use a tiny dot invisible to the naked eye. And so I really believe that if your skin's not clean, you might as well not bother with anything else.
Mm.
It'll just sit on top. And I was using hot cloth and a balm, and that was fine, but I need something with a bit more muscle. So that is really great. And I also really like a facial oil.
Mm.
And there's a company called Votary, which specialises in oils. And they now do a night oil with retinol that I'm using, which I really like. And also an eye oil, which is really nice.
An eye oil? Oil on my eyes. I don't know about that.
Do you know what? It doesn't go in your eyes. Actually, it's a rollerball.
I don't want greasy eyes.
At night?
Well,
it doesn't matter really.
But it depends how thirsty your eyes are. Your eyes might be parched and suck the oil in.
Ooh. I don't know. I haven't spoken to them recently. I'm going to shout, see if they're thirsty. That's good though. So grease up your eyes.
Yeah, grease your eyes. And then I'm using a moisturiser from a brand called Drunk Elephant that's just come over from New York. And I, for years, have been using Bobbi Brown Moisturising Balm, which is not a foundation, but it's, you know, got a little bit more muscle in the tinted moisture. It's a really nice texture. And I think that if I look alive, that's why I look alive.
Oh, it's great. It's great that he's branched out as well. I mean, it is his prerogative. always do that joke when we
always,
do
always, always.
I don't think they like it.
I don't think you need to spend £1 million on moisturiser. I don't think you need to spend a lot of money on moisturiser. One that I discovered and that Emily and I now both keep going back to is an M&S one from their formula range.
Oh, is it the night one? I've got the night one.
So good.
Very nice.
You know, and wouldn't it be nice if your skin's needs were dictated by it rather than by what you could afford? Mm. And it's £22, which means you can be quite generous with it.
Yeah.
You know, rather than using, you know, tiny dots.
Yeah. You can put it on your eyes if you want greasy eyes.
Yeah. You can put it on your eyes, you put it anywhere you want.
Put it on your ass, silly. I like an Aldi night cream. It's about £1.49. And that was my favourite thing in the summer because we were driving to a camping holiday festival and I picked it up and it was delicious.
Yeah. Really?
Really, really
Aldi
liked
are
it.
Really clever. They're really disruptively Q10 clever.
And also the day cream, I was like, that was £3 for my day cream and my night cream, and it's good. And again, because it was £1.50, I could just get my finger in deep and slather it in.
Yeah, that's very good. You really want to feel like you've got a kind of good layer on, and if you're just eking it out, it just feels a bit sort of like,
no, you feel
it makes you feel a bit shit about yourself, isn't it? That you don't deserve to kind of slick yourself up.
Exactly.
Grease yourself up properly.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at you.
I visualize myself just dripping mozzola in my pupils.
Swimming in olive oil as you.
I'm going to get you some of this.
Oh, wow. Just put it in like a little dish like you're dipping your bread, but just dip your eyes and your face.
Just get a pair of swimming goggles.
Yes.
Pour the oil in.
But I have to say, if you want
like
tips
for the eye.
If you want tips, my biggest problem with sun cream was it always went in my fucking eyes and I'd be blinking like a sort of myxomatosis bunny. And I discovered this sun cream, which I used on my kid all summer. I put it on in the morning and he's white blonde, this child, in extreme Mediterranean
like
sun.
Like an Aryan prince.
Yes, half Jewish Aryan prince.
Yeah.
And did put it on for the rest of the day and he was in and out the pool. He never burned. It's called Ultra Sun and it was developed for sportsmen, and you put it on, it looks like an orb, but it goes on like a gel and then you're just done.
Oh.
And it never goes in your eyes ever, ever, ever.
Awesome.
Because I like a bit of P20.
I do like a bit of P20.
Yeah,
but it's slightly oily,
quite
so
tacky.
Probably not for my eyes. But
excellent.
Beauty.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Chat done. Yes. Ellie.
Let's get into it then. Let's do some proper book chat. So this is your book. So it's called I'm Absolutely Fine, A Manual for Imperfect Women. What's it all about, Emily?
Well, it is about how we feel at any given point in the day. Starts off by throwing out the question, where are the grown-ups? Because I think the idea that there's that always that horrifying moment, isn't there, when you're in a room and someone asks you a question, like you've just done, and you all look around to find who is the most grown-up person who could answer it, and you realise that person is supposed to be you, and you think, fuck. And I think that the idea is to make people, to connect people with all of the different indignities that we're feeling on their daily life, and to make them go sigh with recognition and be happy that somebody has heard them.
There's a lot of joy in the book. It's not just, hashtag whinging it. But there's light and shade.
I'm getting that on a T-shirt.
So, there's some quite lyrical essays that might be quite grief-filled or might be about anxiety, might be about loneliness, but also might be about joy. And then these mad listicles and little short, sharp funnies. But it isn't just the misery.
My favourite part of the book is when you talk about someone saying, oh, you look tired.
Yes.
Because that's my mother-in-law's catchphrase.
Yes.
She says that to everyone. We'll be out at the cafe in Melbourne and she goes, oh, she looks tired. Oh, you look tired. And what she's actually saying, as you say quite rightly in the book, is you look fucking awful.
Why
you
say it?
You look dreadful, And it's like, and as you say in the book, you know you're tired. You don't need someone to say that you look like a piece of shit.
I always think if they're going to bother, they might as well say you look exhausted. Because at least it's a bit more romantic and consumptive.
Yeah.
You look like a starving Victorian child who's just been sent up a chimney.
Yeah.
Do you prefer that?
I remember someone saying it to me, who had said it to me quite a lot. And I just said, I am tired. I look, therefore I am. I look tired because I am tired. I don't know what you want me to say anymore to this. Also, I don't know what to do. I've got small children. I think this is pretty standard.
Yeah, because
I'm sort of all right with it.
This is my face right now.
Yeah. If someone says you look tired, the answer is really, and what's your point?
Yeah.
What?
But also there is that thing where you look in the mirror every day for 2 years and you think, I look tired today, I look tired, and then I look tired today, and you realise it's just your face now.
Yeah, exactly.
I would say, I think in defence of it, I think it often comes from a place of love, and it's someone who's trying to say, I'm paying attention to you and I'm observing you and I'm here for you, but they're doing it badly.
Yeah.
So it's just stop doing that.
I think it's lazy.
They're not saying, you look tired, here, let me take your children and send you to the Bahamas for a week.
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah.
They're just saying, you look tired.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
Yeah. Yeah. Also when the head is slightly cocked as they look at you sympathetically and you just think,
universal language of pity.
You
head to one side.
You're not really winning at life right now,
Hashtag.
Well, this is what I found, like, in your reading your book, and I did, like, the furious nodding and laughing, but I'm nearly 40, and, like, when my mum was this age, she didn't look like me. She wasn't getting pissed and throwing up outside of taxis and things like that. She was making the house neat. There were doilies and all the silver was polished. And I feel like it's sort of weird getting to that age where you remember your mum at that sort of time and you're not her.
Well, that's why we called it the middle, because it was meant to be a new definition for a new generation. And when we started, we had two, I'm going to say, internal taglines, and you're going to make a joke about internal.
I mean, well, not now, you fucking ruined the set.
Sorry. We had two internal
taglines.
She's
too clever, Ellie. She's so clever.
And one was, we are not our mothers. And the other one was, fuck the teenagers.
Yeah.
So it really was about the newness of what it is to be, you know, maybe nearly 40.
Yeah. Now.
And we grew up with the internet, and so we are hyper-connected and digitally engaged, etc. Mm. And yet there's nothing outside us that reflects our lives. So still when people think, oh, you know, let's depict a 45-year-old woman, there's the waterfall cardigan and, you know, the tired face.
The Arga, maybe a tenor lady in the background.
Arga and a waterfall cardigan as well is a very dangerous combination. Flammable woof situation.
There goes Cynthia. Yes. One goes.
Health and safety alone, that's not a good idea.
If you think about a waterfall cardigan, it is the bastard child of the two most sexless items of clothing on the planet, the cardigan and the shawl.
Yes.
And yet we're led to believe that it is the
waterfall.
Yeah, it just says defeat.
Yeah. They should call it a shardigan. I feel like that would be a more waterfall is quite a nice word. Shardigan would be
It sounds like charlatan, which I like.
Yeah,
because trying to hide something.
Yeah,
we're going to bring it back.
So, is there a mid-alt manifesto, if you like? What's you know?
We have so many mantras, right?
Which are so many. I mean, you know, part of them are in the chapter titles of the book. So, we wanted to reskin it so it wasn't quite so sort of cliched and tricky. So, there is a chapter on body image, but it's called "Does This Straight Jacket Make Me Look Fat?" And then you have the chapter on anxiety is called "What the Wild Thoughts Are." The one on sex is called "What Could Possibly Go Wrong." The one on relationships is called, I think, "It's Not Me, It's You."
Yeah.
Because sometimes it fucking is.
I know. Yeah. Why do we have to take the blame?
Yeah, exactly. What are your mantras?
It's almost always not me.
Onwards and sideways. Never ever give up on your hair.
Smile while you still have teeth.
This is great.
I absolutely love reading it. And I think everyone should buy it for themselves, sure. But do buy it for your friends as well. And what's next then? What's next for the middle? What do you want to do?
Maybe write something for telly that, you know, maybe continues to, you know, lift the veil of silence that, you know, covers our inner lives.
Yeah.
Something like drama-y comedy for telly.
Yeah, fantastic.
But also, because I've worked with brands for so many years, you know, what's happening is that brands are suddenly starting to realise, retailers, that everyone's been going, millennials for the last 5 years, but millennials basically are quite disloyal and don't spend money.
Mm.
Whereas mid-adults who are buying cross-generationally, let's say I bought a pair of Stan Smiths, you wouldn't know if it was for me, my mother, my, you know, teenage sister, my child, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we're a portal to spend. So they're now interested in grown-up women, and we are working with some of them to start to ignite that conversation so that women don't feel quite so ignored.
And then, you know, I want to finally go back into Topshop when I've actually can afford their jeans and their fancy jackets and their things. But I, and especially being a size 18 woman, often you go into the shop and the clothes would finish at a size 16. It's like, I have money. Here's my
credit card. What are you complaining about? You got shardigans. They're one size fits all. Plenty of shardigans to choose from.
M&S have all my money.
A friend of ours was saying the other day that she, and a fabulous friend, very fashion forward and gorgeous, but in her 50s, and she was in Topshop and she bought a top. And the sales girl said, is that for your daughter?
Which made me cross for so many reasons, because what if she doesn't have kids?
For
one.
That's so insulting.
Apart from, and then do you know what she did, which was very cool? She said, she panicked and said, yes, it is. Walked away, walked back and said, I just need you to know that I lied. It's not for my daughter. It's actually for me.
And the girl was great, apparently, and was very like, oh my goodness, I didn't mean to. You know, it was just a sort of poor instinct, which is fine. But, you know, you feel like that's sort of everywhere.
I did have a very bad experience in H&M Kids today in Bluewater, where I went and they have a T-shirt with a shiny green and blue sequin T-Rex, one of the ones you can rub the sequins and it changes colour.
Yeah.
And it says, in sequins, shine bright like a dino.
And it only goes up to size 7 to 8, and I nearly burnt the shop down. And I'm like, what do you mean? My son won't wear this. I want this. It's for me.
Oh. Oh, well, there we go.
I think we've solved all the problems of the world.
I think this is
a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Done.
Great. Well, shall we have a Scummy Mummy confession?
Yes, please. Now, do our guests have a story of parenting failure to share?
Well, you know what? They're not dissimilar.
Yeah.
Because we are swearers.
Mm.
And so mine was hearing my 18-month-old say from the back of the car, "Fucking aunt." And then I thought, I need to do something about the road rage. I need to do something about the road rage.
There is something about the car, though, that does make you want to swear a lot. And I don't even drive.
And then he said to me, more recently when he could talk, why did you just say prick? I said he was quick. I said that man was quick.
He was a massive quick.
That's right. Look at that quick. What about you, Emily? So mine is my lovely husband's parents are very genteel, rural Wiltshire. And my seven-year-old daughter, when she was seven, got up from the lovely Arga heated kitchen table and said, I'm just going to go and take a piss.
Wonderful.
And my husband has never looked prouder.
I did this. I created this. This
amazing.
Is mine.
Well, there we go. Yes, so your book, One More Time, which is called I'm Absolutely Fine, A Manual for Imperfect Women, is out now.
It is out now.
Available.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Everywhere.
All good bookshops.
And
some shitty ones.
Are there shitty bookshops?
No, never, never. Where can people find you and follow you?
They can follow at www.midalt.com.
Does anyone say www.midalt?
Helen does. Go to the wall. Okay. www. Because people just would not, and they'll never find your website.
Also, she can't say it.
Okay.
TheMidAlt.com.
TheMidAlt.com. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, at TheMidAlt.com.
No.
She's
hell.
Not even
have you
drunk?
Ever been on the internet?
The internet.
Digital business.
Yeah.
Okay. At TheMidAlt.com. At the Mid Out on Instagram and Twitter. Okay.
Easy peasy.
Yes.
God, I'm really sorry.
You can find... It's yourself you've embarrassed. Don't apologise to me.
You have spiked my lemongrass.
Too much lemongrass.
Yes, exactly. Of course, you can find us at www.scummymummies.com.
Exactly.
We're leading a new trend.
Not enough W's in the world, Ellie. And then, of course, we're on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter.
At scummymummies.net.co.uk.biz.
Exactly. And, of course, we are touring all over the shop, aren't we? All over the country, up and down. We've got wonderful Christmas shows. A lot have sold out, so do check scummymummies.com for details.
Our book is still in print.
I believe so. And it's quite at a discounted price. Don't embarrass us. Just buy it.
Well, Annabelle and Emily from The Mid-Alt, you've been amazing guests.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that was so brilliant. Thank you.
We love you guys. We love women. And we love that you're sweary old horn bags as well. So thank you very much.
And one of you's a squirter. Next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.
So yesterday, Helen and I were lucky enough to be invited to the Radio 2 Hyde Park Festival. So it was a lovely day. But people kept telling me that you were going to the toilet. Like, it started with you. You'd be like, I'm just going for a piss. And I'd be like, okay. Like, I, you're not my child. I'm a 40-year-old woman. That's all right. Go for a piss. And then other people start going, Helen's just gone for a piss. And I'd be like, I'm not her mum. I just don't care. Like, if she gets lost and falls in a ditch, it's a Radio 2 Hyde Festival. What's the worst that can happen? Yeah. Michael Ball's going to fondle her. Yeah. I mean, it's all fine.
Oh, that's
and
nice
that,
hoping.
Again, is highly unlikely in itself.
Yeah. Oh, dear. It was a delightful day. And I didn't spew, which I did after their book launch.
Is that your confession that you spewed?
Yeah, I actually spewed at your book launch. Well, no, in the bar next door.
I thought it was in the cab on the way home. Was that as well?
No, I did a pre-spew. Did you? Yeah.
What's that?
Did you spew and then keep drinking?
Yes.
Tactical chundering.
My God, not since university.
Oh, my God, you're my hero.
But it was not a good choice, Annabelle. Yeah. It was not. But anyway,
what a shocker.
Lovely time. I had a lovely time.
Usually that always goes really well.
If it was good enough for the Romans, it's good enough for me. Anyway, I had a great time.
Yeah, so and again, they're doing so well. That empire's doing really well.
Get thee to the vomitarium.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh.
Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.